Okay, we're back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to talk about a product this morning. It's called Nicor. Its manufacturer, well, I guess the product and the company are called Nicor. This is a product that's made from nylon waste products, primarily carpet. We have on the line with us this morning the chairman of Nicor, Steve Steele. And Steve, how are you this morning?
David, I'm great. Thank you.
Now, we had met at the CARE convention, and I was impressed by your product. In fact, I think we had talked earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about Nicor, if you would, the company and the product.
Sure. First, let me tell you that we've had some good news, and we have been sold basically to a company called Innovations.
Oh, really?
And so Innovations, and we have been in tandem now for 5 or 6 years in co-development and that kind of thing. So that's a recent development, but that's the company news. The product news goes back about 9 years when a group of us got together and decided to work on avenues to use waste streams of carpet in order to produce construction products. And we initially perfected and patented a backer board product, which is a product to go under ceramic tile, primarily in bathroom applications, kitchens, places like that. It can you can conduct heat through it to warm those spaces. It is waterproof. It is mold and mildew resistant. It has substantial structural strength, beating anything else that is in the marketplace today. We did that in a compression molded situation that was slow and costly. So we spent a couple of more years in R&D and brought out a product that we do through a combination of extrusion and some of our products we also use in injection molded process. But at present, we are involved in a number of prototypes for large corporations, and we specifically have been involved in continuing perfection of this backer board that I mentioned in roofing shingles that resemble real slate but have much better life and maintenance-free environment that they can accommodate. We also have many farm and agricultural applications that are being viewed now and make pallet supports as well. Those are the things that I can talk publicly about, and then there are some other things, as I said, we are prototyping for others at this time.
I see. Things on the drawing board.
Well, they are. These companies have actively been using wood and other products, and we are demonstrating the superiority, if you will, of using the recycled carpet nylon content, sometimes alone, sometimes in combination with plastics from other recycled materials.
Let me ask you a little bit about the Innovation organization and your joining them. What in essence, what doors are going to open up as a result of that?
Well, the primary thing is a combination of our intellectual property that originally had been in Innovations and had been licensed to Nicor. And we now have moved the Nicor trademarks and that type of thing so that all the intellectual property will reside in Innovations, as well as a relationships with some of these national and international companies that I mentioned earlier that Innovations has a long-standing relationships with, a good reputation with, and so there's a certain level of additional credibility we think will be gained, if you will.
I gotcha.
Potentially national and international distribution channels after the first of the year.
Now, did you say that when you set out in the beginning that you specifically set out to find things to do with recycled carpet?
Yeah, we had both the product in mind, the backer board, but we knew that the properties from recycled carpet, from the nylon content in recycled carpet, when we started this approximately 9 years ago, there were still jute and other things that were coming in and from the recycled side. But we concentrate on the nylons contained in the recycled carpeting. And so we did go in with a mission to use that either 100% in some products or in a majority percentage of the makeup of the products, because several things that you and your listeners probably already know, but The recycled carpet makes up approximately 3% of the landfills in the U.S., and it is a problem in some other countries, but primarily in the U.S. The sheer magnitude of the amount, and then the amount that has previously gone into landfills, and there has not been a significant opportunity, at least in our view, to divert those streams from landfills, et cetera, into usable products that could be made in great numbers and basically use up the majority of the recycled content that's available.
Uh-huh. Now, you must have been in the floor covering industry, had a floor covering background to be aware of the carpet and the nylon content in it, and also the need for a backer board.
Well, I guess I would be a stepchild. I'm actually an attorney by training. Spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., and studied this from a kind of a governmental side of things.
Uh-huh.
And from clients that I represented that were aware of some of these issues. And so, as I said, a group of us kind of blended two things, the need for a place for the recycled carpet content and the need for, in our view, a replacement for, or at least an augmentation to the existing boards that are used for backer board purposes.
I see. Now, you had mentioned that this is an extrusion process. You said you did injection molding as well, I think, but getting waste carpet to a state where you can either extrude it or injection mold it has to be quite a process.
Well, collection is a significant part of the problem, as I'm sure you're aware. Particularly people that deal in post-consumer have the smaller lots, if you will, to collect. They have to send out containers, trucks, et cetera. So that adds to the headaches and the financial heartaches. And moving it around in 1,000-pound bales, as we do, is initially difficult. And then we do go through a shredding process and have some proprietary processes that we then also go through so that we can process it. But we think ours is a streamlined process over any others that we're aware of and provides greater flexibility in the number of products that we think this could apply to. For example, railroad ties, parking in parking lots, blockage-type systems, some flood control systems potentially, as well as all kinds of other, basically almost any kind of plastic other than in small toys and with moving parts, that kind of thing.
I see. And this will still be primarily nylon?
Right.
I see. You had mentioned post-consumer. Is that where most of the raw material carpet that you use, is that where that comes from?
We use a combination of post-industrial and post-consumer, and it will probably primarily be post-consumer in the next few years.
I see. Now, I suppose then you can use either nylon 6/6 or nylon 6.
Right. We think that the environment has changed, so primarily nylon 6/6 is what is available at this time, and we have geared our operations, kind of changed our operations because of the fluctuations in what is available from time to time, be it 6 or 6/6. But previously there was a lot of both of it available. With Shaw's facility now taking the huge amount of 6 from around the country, it makes the 6/6 available. But the good thing about our product is that our products are that they can be formulated to include from a base, from a nylon base, can include an awful lot of other kinds of fillers, either that might be nylon or other plastics, several other components could be combined together to make the end product.
Uh-huh. Just out of idle curiosity, you had mentioned that you had worked with some people on the front end who were aware of the needs in the flooring industry for a backer board material. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, those were, oddly enough, were primarily retail types that had been involved in carpet sales and involved in just day-to-day sales, if you will, of backer boards and flooring products. And through them, we did meet several people in the industry, but primarily it was just a pretty significant step on the part of a small group of investors and kind of crazy inventor types, if you will.
I see. Well, it seems to have panned out really well.
Well, we hope so. We're very small and have significant interest. We have been rated as, for example, the backer board gets higher rating than some plywoods, and the span that it can cover, the support, structural support. We've been rated by third-party entities and private companies very highly. Also, one of the significant things about the backer board is our backer board allows for the elimination of the first layer of thinset, and it can just be screwed immediately to the subfloor. So that eliminates the cost of the thinset as well as the labor and the delay to put that in place. So it's a tremendous cost savings for contractors and builders.
Well, talk about some of the physical characteristics of this backer board material.
Well, we can make it to custom widths and lengths. Primarily, we concentrate, though, in either 3 or 4 foot widths, and presently the most common board that we distribute is a 3x5 board. It's smooth on one side and has, for lack of a better way to describe it, kind of the dimples on a golf ball on the other side. Those have exposed fibers on that side, and that allows it to suck in the thin set and the tiny little bit of moisture, microscopic bit of moisture, to make it bond very, very well with the thin set. And we have, as I said earlier, we can go to 4x8 boards. We can go to just about any length board that anybody would want. Some other applications that people have tested the board for are stucco board and some agricultural roofing type products, agricultural sheathing and stalls and that kind of thing as well. So depending on which side of the board you use, it can lend itself to many different applications. We've gone up to a 1-inch width, thickness rather, and we've made lumber basically 1x4, 1x6 type lumber that's very heavy, and down the road we see uses for that as well.
I see. How about the weight? Is this heavy? Is it heavy? Is it light?
It can be. As I said, we do it of all thicknesses, number of thicknesses, but the 1/4-inch thickness on a 3x5, so 15 square foot board, is approximately 27 pounds. So without any kind of fillers to make it lighter, it has significant weight, and I say that in a positive way, in that it is not going to crack in transportation. It's not going to crack in the store on the shelves and that kind of thing, as some of the existing cementitious boards do. It also does not release any dust, which some cementitious, most of the, I can't talk today, cementitious boards release particularly silica dust into the air. Our product releases no dust whatsoever. It has a few crumbs. It can be cut on site within a structure. It can be wrapped literally around pillars, so it is not going to crack when it is used internally. Because it's thermoplastic board, externally, particularly in cold weather, one needs to warm it up a little bit so that those properties can be applied. But it has great flexibility, and it can be made as hard and from one extreme to the other, as hard as glass or as flexible as maybe a super ball or something like that.
That's very interesting. Now, with such focus on green and sustainability, I would imagine a substitute for plywood or particle board or some of these other products, this would only have a great future going forward.
We think so. Change is a difficult thing to get many industries involved with, particularly some that are used to doing things for decades a particular way. So we do see a transition to materials that are, number one, green, and number two, that have greater durability in life. All of our products are 100% recyclable next week or 30 years from now. You'd be able to use 100% of the material to recycle it. We use no toxic materials either in the products, nor do we release any, nor down the road would there be any released. And marine-grade plywood, regular plywood, things like golf cart seats, school bus seats, etc., many of those have a plywood underlayment, for lack of a better word, and we think eventually things like that will be replaced by boards similar to ours.
Very interesting. Talk about the cost. How does this stack up next to backer board and these other materials we've been talking
about? Well, thank you. Thanks for mentioning that. There was, when we got started in this, there was a general feeling within the industry, those that were trying to create products out of recycled content, that people would pay a premium for recycled materials. And in fact, just the opposite is true. They're not going to pay a premium. They want performance. A contractor on the job wants, other than LED, LED points, he or she wants performance and wants to not have problems down the road. They are unlikely, in most instances, to pay any kind of premium, even for better performance. So one needs to at least match or be able to beat existing product costs that they're used to. And we can do that significantly. It is a matter of the level of production, and as we produce more and more products, our costs will actually drop very significantly. Right now, we're capable of putting out in excess of 6,000 pounds per hour in our facilities. And we will be able to significantly lower the price, of, particularly in the backer board area, of what existing boards, although they're kind of a commodity product at this time, we can not only pass on the savings at the time of purchase, but as I mentioned earlier, by eliminating labor and the thin set layer that people customarily have used, we can almost make the product the equivalent of free to the end user.
This is going to conclude the first part of a three-part conversation. We're talking about Nicor. That's a product that's made from nylon waste, primarily carpet. With us for this conversation, the chairman of Nicor, Steve Steele. We're going to air part two of this conversation tomorrow, and you're listening to Floor Radio.